Now more than ever, Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price, you want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's, we help, you save. Price match applies to same item, current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at lowes.com/lowest price guarantee.
Hi everyone, welcome to the Value Inspiration Podcast. My name is Ton Dobber and I'm the founder of Value Inspiration. The purpose of my company is to help business software companies rethink what can be to become remarkable again. The goal that I have with this podcast is to inspire new forms of value creation by sharing compelling ideas and stories about the potential that we can unlock when technology and people blend in the right way. So my strong belief is that we can think big, and therefore we should. And doing so will help to create a better world for all of us. And this podcast is all about that. The guest of my podcast this week is Payman Nilfarooj, CEO and co-founder of Empowered.
What we saw in the journey leading up to Empowered was essentially interruptive advertising not working. You're looking at 0.05%, not 0.5%, not 5%, 0.05% click-through rate on a banner ad. That's on average, and that's after using tons of technology and targeting and everything that you can imagine. This is not about technology, it's not about targeting, it's not about the audience, it's not about any of that. It's really about the form, which is when you're interrupting somebody, you know, they don't wanna engage. They just tune out. Did it as an experiment, ended up delivering a 65% increase in consideration. It just blew off every single, you know, advertising they'd ever done.
This is Payman. He's the CEO and co-founder of Empowered, an AI company that enables Fortune 500 brands to discover and amplify trusted content to educate consumers and drive sales. Together with his brother Pirush, he previously founded NetShelter in 1999, which became the world's largest technology property on the web before being acquired by Ziff Davis in 2013. The company's fast growth earned numerous distinctions in the Inc. 500 and Inc. 1000, Deloitte Technology Fast 500, Profit 100, and the San Francisco Business Times Fast 100. Payman is a media entrepreneur and a visionary, and he has been quoted in the Wall Street Journal, Forbes, and he was named in the 2010 Who's Who in Business Publishing by B2B Online Media Business Magazine. He was also the recipient of the Profit 100 Young Entrepreneur Award for being the youngest CEO on the Profit 100 list of fastest growing companies in 2009. And by listening to this podcast, you will learn three things. Firstly, why, if you want to deliver real impact, you'd better stay away from the conventional wisdom and approach the problem from the opposite direction. Secondly, that to truly disrupt the market, you not only need an excellent product, but also a revolutionary business model. Shifting from consumption to outcome-based charging is one example of that. And thirdly, why it is not only possible to deliver remarkable impact with a product, but also to create many jobs on top of that. So, Payman, thank you for being on the podcast. Thank you for making time for this. And to give the audience a little bit of an idea about who you are, can you share a little bit about your history and your passions?
Thanks for having me, man. So, born in Iran, grew up in Toronto. Moved to the Bay Area and right after the recession, actually, 2008 hit, and we're like, okay, it's a good time to build a company in the Bay Area. So we moved. But I've literally grown up in the advertising business. So my brother and I, back in 99, started a company in Toronto in my parents' basement called NetShelter. Ended up bootstrapping that all the way to 2008. Raised $26 million in venture capital, moved to the Bay Area, and ended up selling that company in 2013 to Ziff Davis.
Okay.
The journey was all focused on making digital advertising work and really scaling it in one category, in our case, was selling banner ads to Fortune 500 tech companies that were trying to reach really geeky, nerdy blogs whom they would have a very tough time reaching otherwise.
Interesting. So you sold it, and then you started Empowered.
So we sold it, and we started Empowered, and what we saw in the journey leading up to Empowered was essentially interruptive advertising not working. And people ask me, what's interruptive advertising? I'm like, well, all the banner ads, the pop-ups, the blocking users' experiences, that thing just didn't work. So when we started NetShelter in 99, I always say this at every conference, people get a laugh out of it. Click-through on a banner ad was over 10%. And today, if you look at a banner ad click-through rate, right, the spreadsheets that, you know, an agency would look at every day, you're looking at 0.05%, not 0.5%, not 5%, 0.05% click-through rate on a banner ad. That's on average, and that's after using tons of technology and targeting and everything that you can imagine. So when we looked at that and we looked at our clients and we're like, well, you know, this is not about technology. It's not about targeting. It's not about the audience. It's not about any of that. It's really about the form. Which is when you're interrupting somebody, you know, they don't want to engage. They just tune out.
Yeah, I agree, and I can only say you're right on that one, because interruptive advertising for me doesn't work either. So what is the big idea behind Empower then?
So the big idea is essentially, you know, if banner ads, interruptive ads don't work, in 2013, we're like, well, what's the future of advertising? Because if we can't make advertising work online, digital publishers are going to die, Facebook is going to die, Google is going to die, then nobody's going to be able to pay their bills. So we're like, okay, there's got to be a way to do this in a much more consumer-friendly way, in a way that it actually adds value to the consumer. And our idea of that was, well, you know, we learned a lot from NetShelter, our network, which had a ton of amazing, you know, blogs. And we're like, well, consumers want to read. They want to read online. That is something that natively they do online. They love reading. So what if instead of putting banner ads to interrupt their experience, we actually turned articles, reviews, blog posts, any kind of content into an ad. And we got them to read that content. And hopefully it's a positive content, talking good about a brand, or giving them information about that brand, or getting them excited or inspired or entertained about that brand. And by doing that, we'll get them to engage, something that they're not doing with banner ads because it doesn't add any value. And we can do that at scale. That's key now, right? So we've seen native advertising, advertorials, you know, content marketing. The problem is it hasn't been able to scale. We're like, if we can do that at scale, then that could essentially replace display advertising. It could replace interruptive advertising, and it could huge win-win for everybody, right? Marketers would get much higher ROI because, you know, you can only go up from 0.05% click-through rate, and then consumers get something that actually adds value to them.
Yeah, interesting. And I think you're right on the reading part, because that's what people typically go out for. They want to learn, they want to educate themselves, and once that is giving the right message, they will engage. So that's what I was saying. We deliver attention, not clicks.
Yeah, you know, it's become our our tagline, because one of our first clients was LG, and LG, you know, it was fed up that their banners weren't deriving consideration. So they're like, listen, we're LG, we're not Samsung, we don't have billions of dollars. We need to get results. And they just launched a new phone, and they're like, listen, our problem is when somebody goes to a store to buy an Android phone. Not Apple. We're not competing with Apple. If they want to buy an Android phone, we want them to actually know about LG and ask about LG. Because today when they go to a store, they just say, hey, can I have a Samsung phone, please? And, you know, they're getting amazing reviews. So we're like, okay, what if you took those reviews and amplified it using us? We'll get it across every single native channel. And, you know, we'll get a lot more people to engage with your brand than any kind of banner ad. Did it as an experiment, ended up delivering a 65% increase in consideration. So we measured people before they read a positive review about LG, and then we you know, measured it after they read it, they read the review. And people, you know, basically showed that, you know, they're much more like, we asked the question of, are you likely to consider the LG phone after reading this article? And we got a 65% increase in consideration, and it just blew off every single, you know, advertising they'd ever done, got all the way to the CMO. And in the next couple of years, they essentially made amplifying articles, amplifying content as a core strategy for every single product launch, for every single announcement. And then they started building it as an annual always on into their media plans.
Pretty compelling. So who is your key role that you're targeting? Is that of course the marketing team. Is there anyone specific in the marketing team that is going to benefit from your solution?
So when we started, it was all about the digital marketing, you know, managers, directors at the clients. They were obviously extremely, you know, frustrated with the ineffectiveness of banner advertising. And they're like, okay, well, we need something different. And they were willing to give anything that was compelling a shot. So those guys would eat it up, they would give us a test, and they would want to see the performance. As we started kind of scaling the business, what became pretty clear is, you know, there's a huge problem they're trying to solve, which is when they were doing it the old way, right? They were going and picking a piece of content. You've seen this on as a sponsored post on Facebook. Everybody takes a good review. They put it on, you know, Facebook. They buy a sponsored post. They put it on, you know, some of these native networks, Outbrain, Taboola, some of these, you know, sort of the content recommendations that everybody hates. They put it there and they try to get people to read the article. And what they're telling us is that, listen, there's so much clickbaiting going on when that happens, because all I'm focusing on is changing, give them a catchy title and get somebody to kind of click. But what we're measuring on the back end is like anywhere between 65 to 90% of people that click bounce, because we clickbaited them essentially. So it doesn't work. It's not very scalable. You know, we want to get people to stay there and read the content. And this was literally the most important decision we made for Empowered, which is like, you know, you're a digital advertising director and you're trying to get somebody to engage with the content. We will actually charge you for engagement. So we say, listen, we're not going to charge you for clicks. We're not going to charge you for impressions. Somebody spends their minimum 15 seconds. And we got the 15 seconds from a study that a company called Chartbeat had done that showed if somebody stays there for 15 seconds, they are going to, 80% of them are going to finish reading that article. And we're like, okay, so that's a great threshold. And we'll charge you for that, you know, 15-second engagement. Otherwise, you don't pay anything. They love that. And the client direct loved that. And then they started talking to their agencies. So they're, you know, the media buying agencies that were previously buying banner ads, you know, they got a lot of the clients excited about it, and we got them excited about it, and they contacted the agency. We started meeting with the ad agencies. That part was a little tricky because, you know, typical ad agencies are not necessarily designed to, you know, do something different and innovative. They want something that is, you know, kind of fit the box. So we started, you know, building a whole framework around what is this? And we're like, okay, you guys want to call it native advertising, content marketing, whatever bucket that kind of fits your budget, but ultimately, you know, let's do this in a way that's very scalable. And yeah, we focused on kind of going back to the beginning of the call where you're like, you know, technology plus, you know, service. We started building a pretty deep AI machine learning algorithm in order to deliver content to consumers at the most efficient cost, focusing on engagement. So focusing on getting somebody to read the content at the cheapest possible price and spending more than 15 seconds there. And that's when we got the attention of the ad agencies. They're like, okay, you're going to give me price efficiency. I'm buying media. You're going to give me much, much better cost than anywhere, any other, you know, any of the ad networks that I'm working. If I'm using your platform, And programmatic was obviously taken off. And we're like, listen, this is a programmatic way to distribute content. Guarantee that it's going to be most efficient. And then we started delivering results. That's when we started getting real scale behind our business. And And the ad agencies started to, you know, if LG was with one ad agency, they started telling, you know, the same ad agency had an account, had the Jaguar Land Rover account, and so on and so forth. And they started, you know, the word started spreading and they started getting excited about us.
That's powerful, right? I mean, if you start to, but the whole history has been about charging for output, and now you're starting to charge for outcomes, which is a win-win for, it's a big win for the customer, but yep. It's also the best incentive for you to make your product even better.
100%, because that feedback means everything.
Exactly. And I mean, who doesn't want to go for that? Because I mean, if there's no engagement, you pay nothing. So,
yes. 100%, and that mapped back. You know, I think it was at the time a company called Moat was just acquired by Oracle for like just under $1 billion, and their entire focus was getting marketers attention-based metrics instead of click-based metrics. So this pendulum was starting to really swing toward attention and engagement, and that's what we've been delivering to them. So they were really getting excited about that.
So what wonders and what question that comes up is, if your platform, I mean, the digital marketer is providing the content, then it goes to the platform and you figure out who to bring it to at what point in time to increase the engagement. Do you also come back to the digital marketer with recommendations about how to improve the quality of the content?
You nailed that question, because that's literally what's happened. So what happened is, you know, Auto has been a big category for us. And because, you know, people read reviews before they buy cars, obviously. And that's really been, you know, tested and very, very effective when they've done it with us. So one of the major auto manufacturers literally started using our platform, and we started obviously distributing their best reviews, car and drivers, all the different kind of websites, some of the blogs, and they started kind of measuring what's happening, and they had assumed that their cars, they had a sport car, that this sport car is actually should be targeted. The target demographic for this are male and younger, right, 18 to 25. And we started distributing the content, and we're like, okay, we're getting literally the highest engagement toward the female and a little bit older. And just like completely different than the assumption. And we're like, listen, you know, we're getting this, and this is not just like on, you know, hundreds of thousands. This is getting to be, you know, millions of dollars that we're spending. The results are consistent. So we sit down with the client, we're like, guys, we, you know, part of this, we do a quarterly business review with the agency and the client direct, and we're like, guys, this is what's happening, and they're like, wow, this is news to us. So they literally took that information, they passed it to their content creation team, their CMO, and they're like, listen, we really gotta change drastically the core, but really refine our messaging. And, you know, obviously refine the contents that we're creating to better align with this target demographic. And it actually made a significant difference. And we're now seeing this over and over again. And actually, one of the Forrester analysts, his name is Ryan Skinner. And I'll send you his contacts. But he's been talking a lot about what you just said, which is the distribution strategy that you put in for your content as a feedback loop that directly informs your content creation.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, of course, that's but you're giving it in a more how do you say that, human way, so to say, because you analyze the data and you provide it in a quarterly review. But do you believe that your solution at the end will also come back with prescriptive guidance from a technology perspective? So that the AI is really talking back to the content creators in real time.
So a lot of, yes, the short answer to that is yes, absolutely. What we built is a software, and, you know, log in, you know, see the content that's most, you know, sort of like getting the highest engagement out there, find the content that is telling the story, and then use our platform to amplify it and then see where it's getting the highest engagement. And what demographics and on across what channels and what time of day and all that data kind of, you know, gives you that info to to create, you know, better and more aligned content. And so, you know, today that's possible, right? An agency or a brand could literally log in and do this and get that data in near real time, right? And literally have a very sophisticated content creation and amplification strategy that is, you know, aligning with their consumers on a near real time basis. The challenge that we're seeing a lot is, you know, most of the agencies and the brands, they're very much understaffed, right? As you know, they don't really have the manpower to be able to do this. And in those cases, what we do is we really partner up with them. We're like, listen, we have account managers, we have experts that are very good at this. And, you know, we don't want this to be a long-term thing. We just want this to be, you know, getting you guys on board, getting you guys trained, getting you guys really getting value. And then at some point, the sooner you're able to sort of, you know, take over and start running this, A, the more value you get out of it, B, the less cost, you know, for you, and C, you now could literally act in real time using technology.
True. Yeah, exactly. So out of the development process, because that has been going on for a couple of years now, what have you seen as the one, two, or possibly three most remarkable things that you've done to the platform to create the impact that you want to create right now, or that you are creating right now?
Yep. So, and this has actually happened in a particular order for us. So the first one, and I would argue probably the biggest one, right, was right off the bat, you know, the decision that, you know, we're getting this feedback from our clients, right, that the clicks are not working for them, impressions are not working for them, and engagement is the name of the game, right? That was really a fundamental decision that we made. It was a leap of faith because, you know, not every marketer was there 4 years ago when we first started. And that was a huge decision that led us into, you know, big brands taking a chance on us. You know, we were a small startup. Yeah, we're out of San Francisco, but there's a lot of hype here, you know, that doesn't necessarily have substance. So they took a chance on us. And we really focus on making it work for them, making it perform for them, you know, no matter what, just like, you know, getting them their results. We did that with, you know, we've done that with auto, consumer electronic, travel, finance, beauty, you know, travel. So various industries. And as we did that, we're like, okay, so now what's the next thing we got to solve for these marketers is price, right? So they're paying, you know, X amount of dollars per engagement. And when we first started the company, that X amount was $5. Very expensive to pay for engagement. But, you know, obviously they love the quality and we're the first platform, the only platform out there still today. But we're like, okay, to really scale this, we got to work on this price. So, you know, today we're able to offer this at 50 cents to a dollar. It's a dynamic pricing. And what we've done to enable this is essentially 4 years of heavy development in back end sort of, you know, machine learning AI, literally using engagement data. So this is all, somebody clicks on an article, they go to the website, they go to Car and Drivers, they start reading the article. We have iFrame technology that enables us to collect engagement data. And then being able to do that, you know, using, you know, millions of dollars in advertising spends across various categories, all of a sudden we find ourselves with this very rich engagement data that we start now, you know, running machine learning and AI algorithms to essentially figure out if this is a content about an SUV, luxury SUV. You know, if we've done it for five clients, we are starting to see a very clear pattern of where it's getting the highest engagement, what image, what title, what channels, what targeting, right? And we're now connected to 40 different native advertising channels. So we started with Facebook and Yahoo, added essentially every native network, Outbrain, Taboola, TripleLift, you know, ShareTrue, all of them. And we're like, okay, now we need the machine to really deliver. And as we start seeing, you know, how effective that is. I mean, we literally went from $5 to 50 cents. We're like, okay, this is where we got to really invest. So, you know, it helps to be in the Valley because we have access to some of the brightest minds, but it's also extremely competitive, as you know. Yeah. So we started really focusing on getting just key talent, people that want to build a startup, to really kind of focus on building the algorithm, building the technology. And, you know, when we launched dynamic cost per engagement in the summer, we put out a press release. It's on our website. It basically, you know, eliminating waste for paid content amplification using artificial intelligence and providing them with a dynamic price where if they start, you know, when the campaign started, if the cost per engagement was $1 and we got it down to 50 cents, they pay 50 cents. And it also incentivized them to run it for a longer period of time, because if it runs for, you know, a month, it might get down to, I don't know, 80 cents. If it runs for, you know, 6 months to a year, it could go down to 50 cents, maybe lower. So that, because the longer it goes, the more it learns. So that essentially became a real core for our business. So that's sort of the second thing that we did that I thought was key to our success. And the third thing was, you know, we've always said this business is all about our people, right? It's about the people that we have and their passion for building this company. So we really started in kind of bringing subject matter experts on board, people that are on the account management side, on the sales side, they have a real passion for amplifying content and for content marketing. So kind of take an approach of like, you know, don't go out there selling a product, go out there and offer a solution and be very consultative with the brands to figure out how to solve problems for them. And that really made a huge impact for us.
Always. Exactly. Yeah, spot on. I mean, this is the way you should launch your product. Good stuff. So, I mean, was there anything in the journey of the product strategy or the whole product journey where you said no to? I mean, of course, when you start, you can go in so many different directions. Was there anything that you deliberately said no to because you wanted to stay on track and to deliver the vision as it was created?
So, I wish I had my brother and co-founder on this call, because he's literally the visionary that's built the entire platform. And he will tell you that on a daily basis, he's making decisions on, you know, going a completely different direction, making decisions that would have taken us on a completely different traction and a different direction. And I think, to his credit, because of the vision that he's had for this company and for the product from the beginning, he's literally kept the product so on track to deliver engagement using artificial intelligence and results. And we, you know, there's so many distractions, right? For example, sure, you know, the ability to find you the best content, right? So, or even the ability to go out there and create content, or the ability to, you know, to go out there and, like, you know, create this amazing sort of like, you know, content recommendation engine, right? There's all these things that you can do using the technology. And yet we've really stayed focused on one thing and one thing only, which is delivering engagement with the content and then, you know, mapping back to the client's KPI. One of the things that we've done, I think, that really grounded us and the product build, we created an advisory board early on of not just random people that are smart, but our clients. Literally our core clients, and that's been tremendous. Like, you know, LG was one of the first ones. We've added numerous different ones, you know, that are just literally the people that are running the show at the different brands on a very tactical level. We do a 30-minute call with them, try to do it on a monthly basis. It's very focused on the product and on their biggest problem. And some of the things, like, for example, the clickbaiting, the need for engagement, the need for a call to action after somebody reads an article, came as a result of direct input from them, and we took that to heart and we prioritized those features.
Yeah. At the end, it's about creating the biggest impact. But sometimes customers don't know what they want, you know. But and that's the art, I guess.
You know, man, that's so true. That is so true. And I, again, going back to credit to my brother Hughes as kind of the visionary for the product. You know, it's like asking the question of what is the problem and what is it that they're not getting, and then really listening and understanding not just what they want, but what do they truly need.
Yeah, true. There's different ways to kind of go about it, and this is definitely one way to do it. So, I mean, out of all the lessons that you've learned so far, selling this and getting this to market, for a marketeer that's listening, what would be an advice to you, from you? How should a marketeer will start to think different here?
So I think, you know, almost all our adult life in advertising, we've seen the whole gamut of, you know, things that obviously used to work, they don't work anymore. You got to take a different stab at it. The consumer is different. So I think what's always worked in advertising and even in, you know, different industries is looking at the consumer, looking at their journey, right? And understanding what is the journey that the consumer is going through. We just actually came back from Vegas with the JD Power. We had an entire session on how artificial intelligence is eliminating paid media waste for content amplification. And in that presentation, the focus was, this is auto marketer. So we focus on the journey that auto consumer takes before they buy a car. And, yeah, you know, Forrester has put out this that, you know, it takes somebody 11 pieces of content. They have to read 11 pieces of content before they purchase a car. Every CMO that went on stage talked about there's 26 different touch points before somebody purchased a car. So, you know, really focusing on what their customer goes through, the consumer journey, and really studying that, understanding that. LG did the exact same thing. They're like, okay, we are everything. Every survey that we're doing is our consumers are relying heavily on reviews to make decisions. Understanding that consumer journey is so key, because once you understand it, then you start thinking, okay, if I'm putting out, for example, banner ads, interruptive ads out there, if I'm bombarding people with that, but the journey is completely disconnected, my customer is actually reading content and trying to figure out what to buy, then you're like, pretty quickly, when we go out there, you know, other innovative companies go out there and talk to them, and they're like, look, this is important, they connect, right? Even though we're talking about a benefit and a company and a product, you know, obviously we need to get better. You know, companies need to be better at talking about a solution, not the product. But the marketer would really connect with them if they studied their consumer and understand that behavior and align their strategies with it. And not be afraid to change, you know, and take risk. I mean, in our case, we've had marketers that have taken the risk with us. And, you know, it doesn't have to be expensive. We've started some of these initiatives with, you know, $100,000 tests, $150,000 tests. And, you know, all of a sudden that's led to multi-million dollar buys, because once you prove it out with a test, it's easy to justify the spend.
Especially when you have a pricing model that's about engagement.
100%.
Yeah, because, I mean, the engagement will translate into business.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. I think part of where we are today with how new artificial intelligence is to many different organizations, it's also about, you know, at what point in time will someone say, you know, enough is enough? I mean, maybe they say, okay, if I have 1% click-through rate or on banners, well, then I'm doing a relatively good job. If it's 1.5%, I'm doing a fantastic job. But I don't realize it could be 3% or 5%. You know, it's like challenging the status quo and like what you have in your hands.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, I think what the other thing that's helping is, you know, like Forrester put out, was it either Gartner or Forrester put out in a very detailed, like, you know, 30, 40 pages research recently. Is called The End of Advertising as We Know It. And I'll actually send this to you because I think you would appreciate it. In there, they are literally focusing on the consumer and their journey and how interruptive advertising is essentially completely throwing your money away. And it is powerful because they've looked at data across different verticals and they've looked, studied the consumer, and they're like, you know, this is so obvious and so clear that it's actionable. And I feel like that is when you're like, enough is enough. I mean, and we've had those conversations. I would tell you, in the past 4 years, we've been evangelizing for the first 3 years. The past years, we've been having a lot of great meetings where in the meetings, we've had a major CMO or, you know, VP or director and a major brand literally tell their team, listen, these banner ads aren't doing anything for us. Why don't we just cut most of the spend and move it to content? And they've done it. So that's where you know, now it's not every brand, it's some of the innovative brands, and you know, you have the leaders and the laggards, but it's definitely moving that direction. And but to your point, I think there is going to be an inflection point where the majority of the brands are just going to say, listen, this thing is just not working, let's stop it, let's move all the money to stuff that's working.
Exactly. It's taking that decision.
Yep.
So what's next for you? What is your greatest aspiration?
For us, you know, I think looking at this market, and we with our last company, it was all about, you know, we want to be the category leader. And category leadership with NetShelter was biggest in the technology media was so defined. It was seen at Ziff Davis, you know, IDG. And we're like, okay, if we're number one, we have the highest reach, high scale. We win, you know, because we have the best solution for the marketers. And Ziff Davis bought it for that reason. They wanted to be number one in the category. For Empowered, you know, the vision is, you know, in order for content distribution to replace interactive advertising, you really need the AI and to create real scale. And we've invested heavily in that, and we've done that, you know, with a bootstrapped startup, you know, with our own money, no, you know, external capital, any of that. And we've done it effectively. And now we just got to really take that to the next level, right? So using the success that we've had in different categories and helping marketers in those categories that are currently not necessarily spending, you know, a lot of their money in content distribution to see the results and then start moving that direction. So our goal is literally be the category leader and really the only platform that marketers use to amplify content. And if we're able to do that effectively, we really transform this industry. And that's what gives like everybody here a lot of passion.
I can hear this. So what is your big ask? And how can people that are listening to the podcast, how can they help you?
So, you know, I think from a standpoint of like the biggest success we've had with marketers is the ones that are, you know, the ones that are really taking chances, and they're like, okay, listen, let's listen to the consumer. Let's figure out what they're doing and try to go out there and, you know, learn their consumers and do something different and, you know, make an impact for the brand. So the biggest ask for us is like, you know, listen to, you know, what's happening with your buyers, right? If you're selling insurance, you know, if you're, you know, like I always give this example of, you know, Wells Fargo, which is actually one of our clients. They've been doing a tremendous job creating content. They're content creators themselves. You know, they have their own blog, and you know, I read a piece of article yesterday. It was about how do you manage cash flow as a business. And I'm like, listen, this is really valuable content. But I would read that. I mean, we have a sophisticated finance team, but any business would read that and would get value out of it. And I'm like, okay, what if every brand really looked at content distribution and content, you know, both the creation of content and the distribution of content, and looked at it as if they're thinking about their search strategy, their social strategy, and they actually formed a real content strategy, a real content team, a content department, and really did this in a significant way. I think that will put them ahead of their competitors in a big, big ways. And I think, you know, if we can have a part in helping them get there and helping them have the proof points and the results to, you know, make that happen and get the budgets, I mean, that would be the biggest kind of impact that we can hopefully make for them and for the industry.
Inspiring. So where can people go to find out more about the company, Empowered, and to say hi to you?
Yeah, so I'm very social, you know, LinkedIn, you know, you reached out on LinkedIn. So, you know, on LinkedIn, I'm very much looking forward to connecting to new people. So just, you know, send me a message, connect with me. Easy, very easy to connect. Definitely on Twitter, I have a really funny handle. It's called The Payman, T-S-E, Payman, my first name, P-E-Y-M-A-N. And, you know, funny story is basically I couldn't get my own handle, so I had to create a different one. And so that's me on Twitter. And email Payman, P-E-Y-M-A-N, @empowered, INPWRD.com. You know, I read every single email, respond to it, love to connect with people that are passionate about content, content marketing, content distribution, advertising, you know, you name it. And obviously, artificial intelligence, what it's done for our business is been transformational. If it wasn't because of AI and machine learning, obviously we wouldn't be able to offer the value we do, you know, and offer the most efficient cost per engagement and all of that stuff. So, you know, also engineers, you know, people that are kind of like really deep in machine learning that want to just talk. I mean, our CTO, one of the smartest guys, you know, he's been doing this with obviously my co-founder, you know, Peter's, and to build a great platform. So even if you want to bounce ideas, do meetups, all of that stuff, we're up for it. You know, we're startup bootstrap, profitable in Soma in San Francisco, and we're definitely up to throwing events and do all that kind of fun stuff to kind of gain knowledge together and learn more about both artificial intelligence and machine learning, as well as you know, content marketing, native advertising, and you know, the industry as a whole.
Cool. I'm sure people will reach out to you. Well, thank you very much. This was really inspiring, and I've learned a lot myself, but very strong points. And I definitely like your, but actually, you're one of the few that I've spoken so far that have taken the commercial model to an outcome-based model, which I really like.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that, man. And thank you for reaching out. And please keep doing it. I feel like there's more and more need for podcasts like yours, where you're really kind of talking about, you know, what is the, how do you create technology and combine it with people to offer value? I couldn't agree with you more that there's a lot of like the opposite viewpoint, which is like AI is going to take our jobs. And like, a lot of that is not true. It's really about AI and, you know, kind of augmenting technology to offer that with people to offer the most value. So please keep doing it. And appreciate the time.
Well, thank you very much. I will surely keep doing this, because this is definitely something that I feel passionate about. Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you.
It was a pleasure. And for everybody that's listening today, thank you for tuning into this podcast. I had the honor to speak to Payman Nilfarooj, CEO and co-founder of Empowered. The goal of this podcast is to share compelling ideas and showcases to inspire what can be when technology and people blend in the right way. It's my strong belief that too much focus is put on automating people out of a process, in other words, cutting costs, rather than scenarios where the unique strength of people are augmented with technology to change the established rules and to deliver a value that was unimaginable before. So, with this podcast, I want to make a contribution to change this, to create a broader awareness of what can be, to accelerate the adoption by bringing together you, a tribe of like-minded people and organizations. And lastly, to accelerate the initiatives and solutions that could be created because one idea inspires the other. So if you know about stories that are worth sharing, please send me a message. Building the momentum all starts with revealing the ideas, and that starts with you. If you want to have more information, read my blogs, or obtain information on working with me, just visit me on my website, valueinspiration.com. Thank you for tuning in, and you could do me a big favor by rating the podcast or provide me with your feedback. I'll see you shortly in a new episode.